Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our series about anticipating and awaiting the coming of Mashiach. Today, in our 34th out of 120 episodes, we're going to focus on Galut journeys. This is very much a continuation of the previous episode, which was called Messianic Journeys 1. This episode is Messianic Journeys 2. In a word, quite a few episodes ago, we began to analyze a statement made in the Gemara. The statement was quite shocking because it suggested that in order for us to bring Mashiach, we need to be mindless or forget about Mashiach. We've explained this in a variety of ways because obviously it cannot be understood in its literal or face value interpretation. And then we introduce a deeper spiritual meaning. And in the immediate past episode, we returned to the technical language of Hesach, translated as a travel or a journey, a going away from, a departure, in order to be able to reach a particular destination. Sometimes you have to let go of old paradigms in order to experience true growth. And that all segues into this particular episode, Journeys 2. This is very much going to be about thinking outside the box, transcending the normal orbit of how we've done things in order to bring Mashiach. In essence, tonight we will learn that Mashiach can only come by Hesach Hadas. You can't simply continue to do the same thing and expect different results. Rather, our sages are calling to us to re-examine the circumstances, the situations, to push the envelope, and to journey and depart from the old paradigms and well-worn paths of least resistance. By forging a new pathway, by blazing a new approach, following the words of our sages, we will, emirtz Hashem, arrive as we depart Galut forever and soon are ushered into the blessed new era of Mashiach. So let's learn. Tonight's journey begins in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. In the fourth chapter, known as Perek Yom Tov, on Daf Lamed Aleph, near the bottom of folio page 31, side A, the Gemara, after describing how the Sanhedrin had exiled itself successively until it disbanded, a total of 10 times, the Gemara seems to suggest that our sages patterned their journey after the departure of the Shekhinah, of the Divine Presence itself, from the Beis HaMikdash. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Bar Idi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Eser Masaot Noso Shekhinah. The Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, departed or journeyed 10 times. And this we can demonstrate Mikroi from Psukim. Ukenegdo. And in parallel, like fashion, Golso Sanhedrin, Migmara, we can understand from the rhyme and reason, which the Gemara will introduce, how the Sanhedrin replicated that very same process. As Rashi tells us, Eser Masos, Mishum Da'ayri Masnisin, B'takonis Shel Yavna, because our Mishnah was talking about injunctions that were brought into application or ordained in a place called Yavna. And then the question is, what was the Sanhedrin doing there? They said, aha. So that was what happened in the days of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that the Sanhedrin had exiled itself slowly from outside Beit HaMikdash proper, from its place of honor in the chamber of hewn stone in the Lishkas HaGazes, was his adjunct to the Beit HaMikdash structure itself, to the Harabayit, and then departing from Yerushalayim. So Nasa Shechina, says Rashi, Lehistalek Me'al Yisrael, that when the Shechina took leave of us, and as Rashi later explains, this took place during the first Beit HaMikdash. The Sifsi Chachamim explains that it has to be the first Beit HaMikdash because in the second Beit HaMikdash we say the Shechina's presence wasn't really there. The second Beit HaMikdash was primarily a functional Beit HaMikdash where offerings were brought, where the halacha, where the rules were followed. But the manifestation of God's presence is something that we experienced in its fullest glory only in the first Beit HaMikdash. So when the Shechina left the Beit HaMikdash, lehistalek me'al Yisrael, when it lifted or, so to speak, moved into the atmosphere, when it was exalted from within its manifestation, ma'at ma'at, it was a slow process. And this happened, kishachotu, when the Jewish people had sinned. As the Mefarshim explained, Hashem allowed the Jewish people opportunity to do tshuva. Had they returned, the Shechina would quickly have returned as well. And so, the Sifsei Chachamim explains, just as the Shechina had weaned itself away from Yerushalayim slowly, so too, the Sanhedrin elected to do the same. In a fascinating Fabrengen that the Rebbe led in Parshas Matos Masai, Parshas Masai speaks about journeys, of course. This was the Shabbat prior to Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av. The year was 1953, or Tavshin Yud Gimel. And the Rebbe said, verily, we can see from this Gemara that when we speak about exile or galut, the terminology journeys is apt. Zman hagalut nikra b'shem nesia. Our exiles are really journeys, as the Gemara tells us. Why is it that an exile would be considered a journey? Well, as we talked about in the previous episode, the concept of this journey is really about a departure. So we speak about the bezman hagolus, legabe zman habayis. When we talk about the way we are able to experience the presence of God, vis-a-vis the way they experienced it in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, there is a richuk ha'erech, there is an enormous gulf. It's not slightly different. We're in a radically different place. K'ma inyan hofchi, as if it was almost an opposite situation. So the Shechina traveled, and we are on a journey. In that Fabrengen, the Rebbe was speaking about Lubavitch's Peace Corps, the yeshiva students who would travel to far-flung, outlying communities that didn't have proper Jewish leadership in order to uplift, inspire, and to kindle souls wherever they could find them. This was something that was done in the early 1950s, and ultimately it sets the stage for the global army of spiritual transformation that continues to unfold with increasing intensity. And the purpose? The purpose of the Rebbe's ideal of shlichus, traveling to different places to touch souls, individuals and communities alike. This is about bringing Mashiach. It's about concluding the journeys of Galut, and on its wings, we will return home to Yerushalayim in joy. At that Fabrengen, the Rebbe went on to say that the concept of Merkez Shlichus, as it was called, or the yeshiva students who will be journeying, have a mission and a purpose. But in truth, this mission and a purpose applies to each and every single one. Here are two examples of personalizing this journey, as the Rebbe speaks about it in the book of Hayom Yom. In the entry for the third of Elul, the Rebbe says, Hamayim in Bashgacha Pratis, quoting the Friedrich Rebbe, he says, one who believes in divine design, Yoideya knows, Ki mehashem mitzade gever koinono, that the footsteps of a person are made firm by God himself. These are the words of David HaMelech in the 37th Psalm. So David HaMelech tells us that God is making a person's footsteps firm, establishing where you go. And this means asher neshama zu tzricha levarer ulatakein is a birur v'tikun b'mokim pleni. That a person goes to a particular place because his or her soul has a mission, because you must refine and perfect something there. And now Yom Yom, the Rebbe goes on to talk about how for hundreds of years, or maybe since the very beginning of creation, there is matter waiting to be refined and perfected. And the neshama, the soul, also waits for this moment. In the Hayom Yom, for Gimel Cheshvan, the Rebbe says something very similar. He speaks about Sod HaBirurim, the mystical mission of refinement. Birurim in Lurianic terminology. This term signifies the sacred tasks that we have to sift through materiality and find the good stuff. Think of burning off the toxins so that you can actually use the gasoline without destroying your engine. Or think about gold ore, silver or nickel or platinum that comes out of the ground and it's filled with all kinds of extraneous matter that is attached to it and it has to be burnt off and cleansed and purified. So we're sifting through the material reality that God has created in order to find and elevate those divine sparks, return them to sender. Because these sparks are embedded within all kinds of material reality. Reality that's permissible for us to use. And when we use it for a sacred and a holy purpose, we extract those sparks as we continue to mine the physical material world for sparks of energy and holiness. So the Rebbe says there that it's al pi hashgocha hol yoino, that it is by virtue of, by force of sublime providence. Ha'odom hoylech l'masa'ov, a person travels from one place to the next. He travels to the place where there are sparks that await him. Because they are mechakim l'gu'ulatam, they're waiting for their redemption. The Rebbe goes on to say that people of higher consciousness, tzaddikim, truly righteous individuals, have vision. They can see or feel somehow they gravitate towards the places where the sparks await them. For common people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ilas kol ha'ilas, sibes kol ha'sibes. The cause of all causes, the prime mover, sets things into motion, and a train of events and circumstance will ultimately bring you to that particular place. And then you are duty-bound to sift through the materiality, to mine the mundane, find the sparks, and elevate our world. So this is the business of Galut. The business of Galut, if you will, is to be understood essentially as a great big journey. A journey in which we seek to find sparks of holiness. And when we find those sparks of holiness, well, we're able to elevate them. And then the private redemption of individual sparks, hundreds of thousands, millions of sparks, eventually all come together. And the grand flame of Mashiach, a universe lit up with the presence of Hashem, with the coming of the redemption, becomes apparent. The Rebbe takes us into a very interesting statement that the Gemara makes. Let me introduce you to two statements, both of which are found in the Gemara in Masechet Psachim on page 87, side B. Statement one that I want to share with you. V'omar Rabbi Elazar said, Lo yehegla HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael l'bein ha'umos. God did not exile Israel among the nations, Ella only kidei sheyatosfu aleihem gerim, so that converts might join them. As it is written, Shenemer v'zorati'o li ba'aretz, I will sow her for me in the land. This is the prophet Hosea speaking in the second chapter of his message for the Jewish people. And the Gemara explains the prophecy as such. Klum adam zeirea so, elu lahachnes kama kurin. Does a person sow a small measure of grain, a saw, save for the reason of bringing forth several kur, which are large measures of grain during the harvest. So too, the exile of the Jewish people is to enable converts from other nations to join the Jewish people. Now, truth be told, this doesn't have to mean actual converts, although oftentimes it does. For example, the Alter Rebbe, in his magnum opus of Maimorim, the Torah Ur, in the very first collection of Maimorim, on Parshat Bereishis, this is on page Vav, column 1, says that the meaning of Legalu LeYisrael Ela Kadesh Shviyatesvu Aleim Gedim, that the Jewish people were not sent into exile save so that converts might become attached to them, the Hainu Lahales Nitzutzois, because we speak here about sparks, sparks of holiness. And then, of course, comes the question. Uma hayanasa im lechatu. Well, how would those converts join the Jewish people if the Jewish people would never have come to their land? How would those sparks of holiness, which incidentally doesn't depart from the literal meaning of the Gemara, some of the sparks of holiness are actual Jewish souls born into non-Jewish bodies that have to return to their people. And so when the Jewish people are in a particular place at a particular time, these individuals, these special souls, are attracted and brought home. But if all the Jewish people were living in Israel, then how would the souls living in these far-flung places know to come home? How would they have a chance upon a Jew? Well, hear the message of Torah. And by extension, the sparks of holiness that are strewn throughout the strata of existence, how would we elevate them if we didn't live here? So the Alter Rebbe says the answer to that question, if we hadn't sinned and been exiled, we must say, the sparks would have come home on their own. And he metaphorizes, like a small flame before a grand roaring fire. An example is Naama, the Ammonite, who eventually becomes the wife of King Solomon of Shlomo HaMelech. And so it is also other nations who came to hear of the wisdom, for the reputation of Shlomo HaMelech's brilliance had spread throughout the land, as we learn about the Queen of Sheba. So indeed, this is so. And in the Pirush al HaSidur, on page 59, column 4, on the words, Nidche Yisrael Yechanes, that God will bring home those distant Jews, the outcast, the forgotten members of the Jewish people. So here, the Alter Rebbe, as the Maimer written by the Mittel Rebbe says, Be'inyan, this is best understood in the manner that's explained, Le'galu Yisrael le'bein ha'um esa'ilam, ela k'dei she'yateis v'lem gedim. That the reason for Galut, the reason we went to these far-flung places is to be able to attract the sparks, the converts, that which isn't organically a part of the Jewish people, but becomes so. Mittel Rebbe writes, V'hainu, this is the Nitche Yisrael Yechanes, the La'atid, when Mashiach will come, Yavoyu HaKoil V'yekabtzu Mikol B'chinas HaNitzutzeis D'Toyu. All these sparks from what is called the untamed energy of Toh that's embedded throughout the strata of existence and reality, all those sparks will be gathered together. That is the meaning of the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach is about gathering souls, gathering lost individuals, bringing them together as a nation, and ultimately, by extension, the gathering of sparks, the bringing home of all these different expressions of divinity that have become lost. So how does that happen? Well, it happens because we, the Jewish people, end up in a lot of very strange places. And this is how the Gemara explains a fascinating drasha on a pasuk, on a verse, which is found in the book of Shoftim. In the fifth chapter, in the Song of Devorah, one of the things that is said, and this is found in verse 11, is there, at the place where water is drawn, in other words, where people congregate, there shom yesanu tzidkeis Hashem, there they will relate the righteous acts of God, tzidkeis pirzoinoi b'Yisrael, the righteous acts of liberation of Israel. The people will relate how Hashem has saved the nation, the people of Israel, and bestowed tranquility upon them. Says the Gemara, and this is also found in Masechet Pesachim, on page Zion 87, side B, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya taught, my dichsiv tzidkas pirzoyne b'Yisrael, what is the meaning of what is written, the righteous act of his rulers? That's the literal meaning of pirzoyne b'Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Tzedakah osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael, the Holy One, blessed be He, performs a charitable act, an act of righteousness toward Israel, Shepizron lebein ha'umais, in that He exiled them amongst all the nations. The Maharsha explains this in a very, very interesting way. After all, that is not the meaning of the Pasuk. The Pasuk clearly doesn't state that. The Maharsha says, Lefi Pshutei, if you read this verse on a literal level, it refers to the fact that the Jewish people could no longer live in wide open cities. Instead, they had to move behind protective walls because they were being attacked on a regular basis. Now tranquility had returned to the land of Israel. Now they could come once again to prozis, to wide open areas, and live without fear. So how does that come to mean scattered? How does it become a statement about the exile when in fact, on a literal level, this verse describes the polar opposite of exile? It illustrates the Jewish people living in the land of Israel with no fear, without having to hide behind walls. So the Maharsha says, it should have said, Tzidkas pirzoinot. Pirzoinois is plural because they lived in many, many prozois, in many open areas. But it said it in the singular, pirzoinoi, his, singular. And so the Gemara, therefore, takes the homiletic liberty to explain that this verse has a literal meaning, but it also has a non-literal meaning. And the non-literal meaning is that the Jewish people were scattered about. Now, what's so charitable about having us scattered in all different places? And the simple answer, the Mefarshim explained, is that this way, our enemies can't kill us. The Gemara goes on to say, "V'hainu da'amr le'ahu mina le'rabbi Chanina," and this concept is precisely what happened when a certain apostate spoke to Rabbi Chanina. And he said, Anan ma'alinon minaychu, we are far superior than you Jews. We have patience of you, it is written. And here he quotes a verse in which it indicates that the Jewish people within 6 months had destroyed their enemies. All able-bodied, militarily capable people were taken away, gone, destroyed. And so this apostate said, we have had you amongst us, and we regard you as enemies. And yet, despite the fact that you are here, Isinchu Gabon Kamashoni, Veleka of Dina Luchumidi, we haven't done what we want to do with you in solving our Jewish problem. Omar Lei, Rabbi Chanina said, Ritzaincha, if you will, Yitapelucha Talmud Echad, let one of my students speak to you. Perhaps Rabbi Chanina didn't want to offend this individual. Maybe he was a person who wielded power, and perhaps it was easier for him to hear the truth from somebody junior, not somebody who represented the Jewish people in an official capacity. Nitfalei Rabbi Yoshaya. Rabbi Yoshaya at that time was young. A junior figure. Omar Leh, he said, Mishum delay yod iso hechi ta'avadu. You simply don't know how to destroy us. That's the reason you haven't attacked. Because what you seek is tachlin en kulu. You seek to solve your Jewish problem forever. And the issue that you have is lesnu gabaychu. They aren't with you. Ma'i de'ike gabaychu, and those who are with you, kodeluchu malchusak tiyasa, you would be called a severed kingdom. It's a euphemism for a kingdom that would simply murder part of its own population. In other words, had all the Jewish people been exiled to Rome at the same time in the same place, well, a final solution might have been imposed. The apostate swears by a Roman god and says, I swear by this god, Baha Nachtinan Ubaha Salkinan. It's with this Jewish problem we go to sleep, and it's with this problem we rise. In other words, we're always struggling with the dilemma of solving our Jewish problem and imposing a final solution. Chilling and terrifying words. The point is that Hashem did kindness with us. For had we all lived in the same time, in the same place, we wouldn't be. We wouldn't be today. This is the literal meaning of the Gemara. But there's a spiritual meaning. And the Rebbe Adaf Abrengen cited a teaching which is found in copious places in Chabad Hasidus, namely, that the tzedakah that Hashem did, shepizran lebein ha'umais, is because by scattering us throughout the different locations, we can bring home the sparks. So going back to where we started, messianic journeys, not galut journeys, because each time we're on a journey, each time we go to another place, each time we're able to find another spark, each time we're able to marshal and sift through the materiality and harness and channel it and use it for a holy purpose, that's a step in the direction of the coming of Mashiach. You know, they famously said that somebody once asked the Hasidic leader, Rav Nachman of Breslov, he said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They said, wow, we didn't know you're moving to Israel. He said, every step I take in the direction of Yerushalayim. Every journey we take, my friends, is a journey in a direction of Geula. These are messianic journeys. And each time you come to a place, there's a mission, there's a mandate. You're expected to perform Avodas HaBirurim. And this is the idea of the ingathering of exiles. This is the ingathering of exiles that every one of us can and should be getting involved in. And so, the Rebbe now brings it back to the Gemara, to the words of the Gemara that said that Mashiach is bo behesach hadas. Mashiach comes with what literally sounds like mindlessness, what we explained as a journey away. And the Rebbe says, indeed, it means that we can no longer look at things in the typical or regular fashion. Because that would be doing the same thing again and again and expecting different results. We need to think outside the box. And so the Rebbe was promulgating this idea that Klal Yisrael needs to elect on journeys. We need to reach out to strange places, to far-flung individuals, to begin to bring every Yid home, to begin to utilize every ounce of wherewithal and every possibility and potential across the globe for a holy and a sacred purpose. Look, this is not the way Jews typically lived. Never before in history did a teacher of Torah, a spiritual leader of the Jewish people, tell his disciples, leave. Move to places where there is no Jewish community, where there isn't yet a Beit HaKnesset or a mikveh, where there isn't yet Jewish life that's been organized. Find Jewish people who are in need of leadership and inspiration and hammer them together. Correct the situation. Find the breaks in the fences of Israel and fix those fences. And why? Because that's how Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes when we travel away from the expected, the norm, when we think outside the box. Mashiach bo, Mashiach will come, behesach hadas. And the Rebbe used very interesting terminology. He said, we speak here about birur hanitzutzos, refinement of the sparks, refinement of the sparks, bidvarim hofchim, in things that are on the surface, beyond the pale. The polar opposite of what you might call holiness. But those are the sparks that are waiting to be healed and redeemed. Those are the sparks that are waiting to be released. So Mashiach is going to come very soon in our time as a result of what we would call the non-typical, non-traditional approach through iconoclastic activity. Dare I say, unorthodox Yiddishkeit. Not chas v'shalom, a departure from Shulchan Aruch, but not following the well-drawn lines of Jewish communal life, but instead to be able to live in the strangest places to effectuate the return of the sparks. And precisely how this ties together with the scorpion and the lost items, and how this Gemara is actually speaking to us about how to bring Mashiach, is something that I will fully explain Be'ezrat Hashem in our next episode, the climatic journey, the final journey home to Mashiach, to a world redeemed and perfected. May it be b'mehera u'b'yameinu speedily, and in our days. Stay tuned. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe and enable notifications. YouTube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. All the classes can be found on RabbiKaplan.tv. Thanks for joining. Have a beautiful evening.